Thank you for allowing us pastors to participate in the honor and appreciation of Jesus Christ, for that's ultimately where thankfulness and gratitude do come from. And it is fitting because Jesus is our great pastor and continues to pastor us, even though he's away in his ascension right now in a glorious body. So I thought it'd be appropriate in the light of the way the Lord is leading us, as well as the fact that we've got a lot of new people here. Just over the past 6 months, it's seen quite an increase of people attending here. We welcome you. And I thought this moment today might be a good refresher for those of you that have been here about what a pastor is, what he or she is called to do. I mean, like, there's literally, you can look into the scriptures and find out what we're supposed to be up to. Our job description is in the Bible. Of course, I can't go through everything that's in there, but I will hit the highlights. And then I want to help those of you that are new to understand a little more what we do think about the role of pastor and how we apply in your life by the Spirit of God to help you grow and to equip you. The scriptures we've already read are in part some of the main ones, but let me elaborate just a little further. So I want to speak the word of the Lord today and give you an encouragement and give you a biblical basis for understanding pastors and overseers in the church. So let me say a quick prayer here. Oh, Father, we come to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the great bishop and Lord and overseer of our souls. By your grace and wisdom before the foundation of the world, you foresaw this time when you would work with mankind, come among mankind, call your church together, and use it for a special purpose in the earth, that it might, being filled with the Spirit and in union with Christ, proclaim the good news, pray, and intercede along with Jesus for the congregation, to administer the sacraments of baptism and communion, those special signs of your presence among us, but also the signs of your coming in glory as a human being again. And also, Lord, to just equip your people for your works of service. We ask for your understanding and for the receiving, the Spirit to receive what you have for us, that we might grow and be all that you are calling us to be in Christ Jesus. We give you praise and glory and honor for doing this according to your great grace and love showered upon us in Christ. Amen. So the biblical, if we're going to have a biblical basis, and we do, for what it means to be a pastor, we have to always begin, as it's been stated by Trish, even with Jesus Christ. So I'd like to read in John chapter 10 to begin with. If you're familiar with the scriptures, this will sound familiar. But let me read it literally. John 10, verse 11. This is Jesus speaking. I am the good shepherd. And this is important, because I say all the time, and we're picking up the language more and more, that our pastor here at New Life, your true pastor, is Jesus Christ. It's not a joke. It's not just a way of trying for us to try to be a little more humble. Jesus actually said it out of his mouth, and we know, those of us that are Christians, that I am stands for God. So really, you could translate this in your mind, I, God, am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now listen, this is a little humbling for us pastors. For me, I know. He says, the hired hand, since he is not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep, leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. Now I thank God that none of the pastors that have been here since I've been here, none of us have run away from the wolves yet. God has kept us faithful in his grace. But don't you believe you won't run? Don't any of us ought not believe that we'd be so naive to think we wouldn't run. His very own disciples ran. Now, there is a difference. The pastors here, me and all the rest, we have the Holy Spirit of God. The disciples that ran, they did not have the Spirit of God. But yet, there are pastors who have the Spirit who do turn from the Lord, and they run from him. My pastor disappeared on me 25 years ago. It's part of the reason that I'm in the ministry. I was called after a whole host of pastors left for various reasons. So Jesus is saying, he's the shepherd. We don't own the sheep. And we'll leave them ultimately if it gets too testy sometimes. The wolf then snatches and scatters the sheep. This happens because he is a hired hand and doesn't care about the sheep. It doesn't mean we don't care about you, but we're not the Lord Jesus. And nothing God gives, even through his son, is instantaneous. It has to be, you have to walk it out. It has to be worked out. It has to be learned. Anything outside of God is not naturally God, and so has to have God graciously put into your life. So that's the patience and forbearance that you have to have with us pastors as well as we have to have with you. Verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd. Double reinforcement. I, God, am your shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. But I have other sheep that are not from this sheep pen. In other words, he's not just working with the church. He is working with the church. He's the head of it. But he's not just working with it. He's not totally dependent on his church to do what he's going to do. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Then there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. All right, so that's enough right there to see that the biblical basis for saying Jesus is your pastor is because Jesus is your pastor. So when you can fool Pastor Tim and Pastor Dave and run from Pastor Tony and Pastor Ann, you can't run from Jesus. So you ever wonder why it seems like every time we're speaking up here, it sounds like we're talking to you? You ever feel uncomfortable? All right, who's been gabbing on me again? Who spread God? Who took me? I didn't even say nothing to anybody. Well, the Lord Jesus knows you thoroughly. Every small detail of your life, you will not escape. You will not escape. He loves you too much. He said, I done laid down my life. I done gave all I had. You better believe I'm not letting one detail out of their life. You're going to get all the glory. Y'all understand? See, sometimes it sounds like it's negative, but it's positive. Oh, no. Every bit of sin, every bit of what's impure is coming out, because you're going to live with me and my Father and the Holy Spirit forever. This is the way we have to receive the gospel. So I want to remind you that we boast in Jesus here, even as pastors, because there's no boasting of our human leaders. We can appreciate and honor. That's fitting. That's the Lord Jesus giving us encouragement. But 1 Corinthians 3, which I've read to you quite a bit over the past few weeks, Paul says, you know, we don't boast in our human leaders. You don't boast in Apollos versus Paul versus whoever. Your boasting should be only in the Lord. And the other basis for pastoring the church is Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 2, this is a crucial passage that ties directly to the pastoral role. 1 Peter 2, verse 25. So we know this is true from another passage, for all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. None of us do good, no, not one. And in verse 25 here, Peter kind of carries that theme a little. He says, for you were, now he's talking to the church, you were like sheep going astray. So that's the implication, is you're no longer like sheep going astray. You're now like sheep going the right way. But you have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And if you read the context there, he's talking about Jesus. Jesus is the one that bore our sins on his body on the tree, so that having died to sins, we might live for righteousness. It's by his wounds we've been healed. For we were like sheep going astray, but now we have returned to the shepherd, Jesus, and the overseer, Jesus, of our souls. So there's a literal biblical basis for why we say Jesus is the pastor of New Life Fellowship, and why that's what you must ultimately remember. You must be pointed away from us. When you remember us, you must immediately be taken to Jesus Christ as the true pastor, and we, in some form, representing Jesus. That's why we have to keep pointing you to him. All right, so it's on that basis then that it's kind of easier to see then why there would be pastors in the church. So we stand at this period of time with Jesus in his ascension, where he said, I must leave you for a little while, but I'm not going to leave you, he said. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. So if Jesus is in one place, heaven at this time, in his glorious body, then how will he lead and not leave us now? Well, that's where sending the Holy Spirit and continuing to call pastors, some to be pastors and teachers and assist and help and guide, that's where it comes in. Christ right now, even though he has a spiritually glorious body, he has a earthly body in the form of his church. And that's an orderly body. And that's why we don't just, that's why we think of the pastors only as one gift he's placed in the body, but he's gifted you all and everyone else for something else to do. He hasn't called all. So let's read that scripture again. We saw it today. I'm going to turn a little rapid. Just want to make sure these foundational scriptures, the main points are made. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse, we'll start here on the ascension, which is what I just said, verse 9. But what does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower parts of the earth? The one who descended, Jesus, is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens to fill all things. So Jesus right now is seeking to fill all things. But because he's a human being like you and me, he can't be everywhere at the same time except from heaven. So from heaven, he sends the Holy Spirit and puts the Holy Spirit in a whole bunch of us so that he can truly begin to fill all things everywhere. And he himself, he, Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some, not all, pastors and teachers, equipping the saints for the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son. Growing into maturity, as Melvin prayed, with a stature measured by Christ's fullness, then we will no longer be little children tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching in the United States and on the internet, by human cunning with cleverness and the techniques of deceit. My mother is facing an all-out attack on her Christianity because she's a giving person and people are trying to reach her everywhere on Facebook, by phone, to rip her off of all of her money. Oh, this is very real. Human cunning with cleverness in the techniques of deceit. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ. From him the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, that's us, promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part. Why are we always trying to seek as pastors to help you play your individual part? I'll read again. This is what we're supposed to do. We build up the body so that the proper working of each individual part can begin to work and there can be unity in Christ's earthly body, which he still has in the form of the church. That's the doctrine of the church, in short. And then look, but notice, it doesn't end there. Verse 17, therefore, because of this, because of these pastors, teachers, apostles, evangelists, other people that he sets in place to do build up the body, I say this and testify in the Lord, you should no longer live as the Gentiles live in the futility of their thoughts. So why do we challenge you about the way you're thinking and say, repent and believe the good news? Why do we say, repent and rethink act and believe the gospels? Because you're supposed to be changed in your thoughts. They are darkened in their understanding, pagans are, those who don't trust Christ, excluded from the life of God. Now, God's included all in Jesus Christ, but you can still be excluded in a sense by being ignorant of that fact. By hearing it, but rejecting it time and time again. So he says, because of the ignorance that is in them and because of the hardness of their hearts. You know, one of the things we have to take serious and that you're learning, and you may be grappling because of some of the ways I'm preaching lately, but there comes a time when the New Testament says the gospel isn't necessarily good news. So in one sense, we have to step back from thinking of the gospel as good news in the first instance. What the gospel is, and I mean if you look at it in the Greek and what it really means, the gospel is the announcement, the proclamation. That's what it is. That's the proclamation of Jesus, and if you trust Jesus, receive Jesus, it is good news to you. It is, oh happy day, my sins have been forgiven, I'm washed clean, I live a new life now in Jesus Christ. If you reject him and you hate his word, and you can hate his word, it's a stink to your nose. So the gospel in the first instance is not good news necessarily. It is always a proclamation, though, of Jesus Christ. And there's the rub. There's where the crisis comes. And it doesn't just come, oh, happy day when you find, trust the Lord for the first time. You have to by the Spirit's grace. Paul continually talks in the New Testament about people who once trusted Christ, but then he had to go ahead and let them go on out to Satan and be buffeted again so that they could be saved. He named them Hymenaeus and Alexander, and there's others. I hope the Lord will return to Alexander the coppersmith the same trouble he gave to us. Now, if that ain't being real, I don't know what is. And Paul's the one that left us instructions on what it means to be a pastor and what it really means to love a congregation and to help them to be built up in the faith. So don't fear chastening, and don't fear the rebuke of the Lord. It's going to come. It must come, for we are sinners, and he's intent that we be who we are. But again, verse 18, it says, verse 19, they became, what I was going to say here too, because it talks about the hardness of their heart. Do you know, there's a point at which I will stop preaching the gospel to someone. There's a point at which you should too. You can do it for a little while, but when a person's no longer receptive to it, you know what happens if you keep preaching it? You harden them. It's just here's an easy example. If you keep getting on your kid's back and telling them no, 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 they're going to resist you and do. Now, y'all can feel that one. If you got a child, you know I'm telling you the truth. You do want to say no. Sometimes you have to say that to protect them. If you really love your child, you're going to say, no, you can't drink that poison this morning for breakfast. On the other hand, you can't live a life of just no, 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 no. Or just telling them, and then you see that they're continual resistance. Sometimes you have to say, all right, let's let that go for a while and let them go. Let them go their own way, learn in their own way, because you could harden them against God. So God does the same thing. Well, he knows that there's a point in human nature. It's unfortunate. It's the mystery of sin and iniquity. But if he keeps on coming at you, it'll just make you more miserable. So he'd rather have you happy in the misery that you're in than a continual, deeper, increasing misery. There's a lot of dynamics here that tie into what it means to be a pastor and to follow along with Jesus Christ. But notice here that after he talks about this building up, there are things to turn from as well as things to turn to. He said they became callous and gave themselves over to promiscuity for the practice of every kind of impurity with a desire for more and more impurity. But that is not how you came to know Christ, assuming you heard about him and were taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Paul's saying he's leaving room for the fact that everybody can look like they are of Christ and in the church, but they may not be. And he even says here that people can be so corrupt, and you can make some assumptions, but that's not necessarily the truth. And so he says, to be renewed, we've been called, though, to take off our former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of our minds, and to put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness in righteousness and purity of truth. And you can continue to read that. But what I'm trying to say here is, this is why a pastor asks you questions. Like, I don't just come in asking about the Ravens game, because I love the Patriots. I don't just come in ready to talk about the weather, which I'll talk to you about the weather. I'll talk about the latest thing going on, but I'm going to get to, are you reading the Bible, Dave Mitchell? Now, Dave knows this because I was just in his house asking him, is he reading the Bible? I was just with Kathy. I'm going to ask you, what's your life like spiritually? Are you spending time with Jesus Christ in prayer? That's what I'm going to ask you. When I see you, how can I help you be is there anything obstacling your spiritual life right now? Let's talk about it. Let's really talk it out. Maybe there's some ways I can help you. So that's what a pastor's about. This is not just me. I'm giving you an example, but I'm just telling you why we ask the questions we do, because we're participating with Jesus in your real life, your real growth and development. And growth means, this is funny, so I understand where we were coming from here, and that was good, to stay the way you are, Pastor Tony. But I got to tell Pastor Tony to change and transform and be renewed in Christ. I hope you get the point. Keep being the real you, that you are in Jesus Christ. That's the only you that really is, so we're called to do that. And by the way, I appreciated the way things went today because it showed me, reinforced. I can see one of the responsibilities and why I'm here with you all. Can you guess what it is? To help turn things right side up. I'm kidding in part, but no, that's what Jesus is up to. We're all upside down. You know, we often take a mistake what it says in the scripture. It says, you know, Stephen and others were preaching the gospel. It says they were turning the whole world upside down. Yes, they were turning the upside down world upside down, which is right side up. Amen. God's in the midst of turning the world right side up, not upside. It's already upside down. So this is important. So this is why you resist us, why it's a little tough being a pastor, because we ourselves are also in that upside down world and need your mercy.